Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's a snowy December day in Calgary, Alberta, and the Lee family is preparing for Christmas. Both parents run small businesses. Lucky, the dad, has a small electronic repair shop, while Noel, the mom, tailors made-to-measure men's suits. Their older daughter, Grace, is on the verge of becoming the family's first professional, while their youngest is still preteen. But when Lucky gets a call from Revenue Canada demanding his back taxes, he springs into action, digging up all his savings with a quickie loan to pay the difference. When he discovers all his money went to a con artist, he is mortified by his own mistake. But this is not his first brush with financial ruin. Lucky has a dark history as a compulsive poker player. Should he come clean to his family? Or will the deck of cards be Lucky's lucky star? Lucky Star is also the name of a new Canadian drama set within Calgary's close-knit Chinese community. It's a complex, multi-layered story full of secrets and lies, suspense and suspicion. The film is writer-director Gillian McKercher's second feature, and she's a rising star herself after a residency at the Canadian Film Center and on Playback's Top 10 to Watch for 2024. Lucky Star is having its Toronto premiere tonight, November 16th at 5 p.m. at the TIFF Lightbox as part of the Real Asian Film Festival. So I'm very pleased to have Gillian McKercher here with me via Zoom from Calgary, Alberta, to tell us more about Lucky Star. Hi, Gillian.
Hi.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So this is radio. Lucky Star is set within the Chinese community of Calgary, but Gillian McKercher doesn't sound like a typical Chinese name. So what's your connection here?
I am biracial. My dad is Scottish descent Canadian, and my mom is Chinese Canadian, having immigrated to Canada in the 70s from Hong Kong. So my family is from the Toisan region of China, and my mom was born in Hong Kong, came here. And for this story, I really wanted to focus on my Chinese side of my family, just because I have a huge family. I've heard so many stories. We love to gossip, and there was a lot to draw inspiration from.
So how would you describe this community? In the introduction, I said it's a close knit, but actually I have no idea. I've never been to Calgary, and maybe it's a sprawling multi, I have no idea. So could you describe the Calgary Chinese community?
I would say that the Calgary Chinese community is among a certain type of prairie Chinese diaspora. So my mom's family originally settled in Saskatchewan and then came to Calgary. Although my great-grandfather, he actually came to Canada to work on the railroad, and he lived in Calgary for most of his life. So,
wow.
Fascinating. It's actually really interesting. So my Chinese ancestor actually was here before my dad's side of the family. And then my great-grandfather, his father actually worked in forestry in British Columbia when they were starting to bring over laborers from Asia. So I think that, the Chinese community here, it's small, but it is deeply connected. I went to Chinese school when I was up until I was 12 years old, and a lot of us who are here, our parents came. I guess there's different types of Chinese folks who are here. There's those who came maybe in the 70s, or whose ancestors, came to work on the railroad. But then there are also people who came more recently. So there's a mix now of Cantonese speakers, Mandarin speakers, different other small dialects. But I personally was connected from my sprawling family across Saskatchewan and Alberta, people who worked in restaurants, people who worked in cleaning services, and then often where I come in is the second generation Chinese descendants who then are more integrated into Canadian society, have probably done post-secondary or something, and have gone on to continue their lives here.
Now, getting back to the story, Lucky is the father, and he has the secret about the his financial predicament. But the other characters have their secrets of their own, moral dilemmas. Can you talk about the mom, Noel?
So she is, I imagine her as being in a relationship with Lucky for a very long time. And so a lot of his habits directly affect her. So he is a gambler. He is not reliable when it comes to money or other sort of like, yeah, just money and being there. And so she has developed her own habits to make ends meet. And that means that in the film, and this isn't a spoiler because it happens in the first 10 minutes, when she sees a watch at her work, she pockets it. And so what is going to happen there? Like, why is she pocketing it? What is she going to do? I think that when you're with somebody who's unreliable, yeah, you start to develop your own habits and you don't want to hurt the pride of the person who's unreliable, at least in her case. So she is trying to get her own safety nest, as it will.
Now, Lucky does have a, I mean, even now he has sort of a, maybe he's a compulsive gambler or he's into gambling, whichever way you want to look at it. But he tries to stick to poker. And some people say there's, for if you're going to gamble, at least poker involves some skill. And there are a number of scenes in the movie about poker. Do you have any personal experience playing poker?
I do. I would not call myself a poker player,
Are you
but
good?
I would say I'm okay. So I played quite a bit of poker in preparation for this film. I did a lot of research. I was actually put in touch with a professional poker player who I watched him play at casino. We talked quite a bit. I consulted with him on the hands for the film. I also went to a few games myself, so I played in a few tournaments, not like huge ones. I'm talking about like the daily 10 a.m. poker tournaments that the casinos will host and a few private games. But I wouldn't say I'm a great player, but I liked what I learned in playing. I liked how, at least with in-person poker, you are only playing one game at a time, unlike online poker where you could be playing multiple games. I like that it's in person. You're seeing the people, you're playing against the people, you're seeing the personality. It's not anonymous. And everything's happening where at least how I felt was, I feel like I can outwit or outplay people at the table. I think that's the only reason why you're going in person. Like, I know there is a camaraderie which happens, but that's what I felt and took away from it. And I feel like with Lucky, he knows that when he goes to the table, he's able to win it all. That's how he feels when he goes, and it's not something he can do when he's playing online.
Now you have a cast full of Asian Canadian actors of all ages. Was all the casting done in Calgary, or did you spread it wide?
It was spread across Canada. We were really fortunate to work with a casting director named Larissa Meyer, and they're based in Toronto. The first person who we had sign on to the project was Terry Chen. And Terry is based out of Vancouver, but we were connected through Larissa via the CFC Netflix Development Accelerator, where before we got funding for the film, Larissa was able to put together a table read with some of Canada's top Asian talent to read the script and give some feedback. And that's how I met Terry. Once we got Terry, everything else kind of fell into place. I reached out to Olivia Chang, who I've been a huge fan of through her work in Warrior and Marco Polo. And once she signed on, then we were able to kind of do traditional casting. So Connie Mew auditioned, for example, and just blew us away.
She plays the
Real
daughter.
discovery for us. She plays the daughter, Grace. And we didn't know she was from Calgary originally. She's based in Toronto now, but that was a happy coincidence. And then Andrew Fung, huge fan. Our company's worked with him before, so
From
we were able to reach
Kim's
out to him.
Convenience, right?
Yeah, Andrew of Kim's Convenience and Run the Burbs.
Now, Lucky is played by Terry Chen, and this is just a question. In the movie, he's covered with tattoos. Are they his own, or were they created for the part?
No, those are all Terry's
Okay,
tattoos.
okay.
Yeah, we
Just
actually
did
covered a few up.
it. Interesting. And this is a very much an Alberta movie, and it's set in the winter. So you have the cold, the wind, the highway. What made you set it in the winter, not in the summer? Isn't it harder to shoot a movie in the cold?
Yes, but crews are more available in the winter generally. So in Alberta, everybody's trying to shoot in those long summer hours that we get here, the sunlight in the summertime. In the winter, generally the top crews are more available, but that's not the only reason that we set the film in winter. I had always imagined the film taking place in the grueling prairie winter. It definitely wears on you, but there is also this sort of solidarity that everybody feels where you're looking at somebody as they're walking their dog in minus 40 and you're like, yeah, we're both going through it together. So I really liked what that did to the feeling of the film aesthetically and more metaphorically, where it's set at Christmas time, which is supposed to be a happy time, but it's also really, really tough and it's just grinding you down. So those are some things I thought about creatively.
I saw a movie a couple years ago called Donkey Head that's set in the Sikh community of Regina, Saskatchewan. And until I watched that film, I didn't know there was Sikhs in Regina, Saskatchewan. And similarly, I never knew that there were Chinese Canadians in Calgary. So why is it important to make a story like this?
I think it's important to tell this story for a few reasons. I think one, if we're just looking at it from the gambling and the secrets point of view, I think that a lot of people are going through stuff like this right now. Times are tight. Everybody's feeling the pinch when it comes to finances. And even with scams, I think a lot of people are experiencing scams and even falling for it, but they're too ashamed to talk about it. So I think that this film really opens the box on to an experience that a lot of Canadians are feeling, regardless of their cultural community. But I also think it's important to show people that there is this diaspora that lives in Calgary that's like thriving, it's rich, it's vibrant, and that's really cool. And I also wanted to show people that in addition to the immigrant community of Calgary, there is also the second generation Chinese community, which is existing, which is really making its stake in Canada. They're very culturally connected to their Chinese roots, but they're also part of this new sort of culture, which has taken place, or it's taking the place of some of that loss of culture from the Chinese heritage. So I was just really interested in showing that. When I was writing the story, I was really interested and inspired by second generation stories like The Sopranos, which is an Italian American story, or even like Noah Baumbach, who is making things like The Squid and the Whale or the Meyerowitz stories, those being Jewish American stories. So I was like, yeah, I have a place here too, telling these second generation Chinese Canadian stories.
Interesting. Now, you're still Calgary based, right?
I am.
How would you describe an Alberta film that separates it from other Canadian films?
I think the prairies, or being in Calgary, there are a few things which separate it from other Canadian stories. I think the landscape is one thing. It can be harsh here, but it can also be so beautiful. And I think that plays into it. I think the politics are different here. At least in Calgary, the main source of income for most folks is through oil and gas, and that comes with its own set of politics. That being, the world can agree we're trying to move away from fossil fuels because of climate change, but we're also producing a lot of it here. And I think that there can be a lot of anger or resentment from the rest of the country against Alberta because of its oil and gas production, but yet we're all complicit, we're using it. So that's at play here.
I loved some of the locations. You found this brutalist building in the background when he's meeting in a parking lot, this like cement thing. What was that?
That actually was a city, I can't remember what it was for, but it was like a city of Calgary permit office for some reason, and that's just off the highway in Calgary.
I love that 70s look. It's like very cool.
Oh yeah, and Calgary is full of stuff like that. I think something that's interesting about Calgary is it is getting tougher now, but a middle class family can still afford a detached home here, which I know is not the case in places like Vancouver and Toronto. So that changes the landscape of what's possible for inner city living. So that was something too that I was interested by, just aesthetically, like this family could have a home like they do in Calgary, not like a suburb like Markham or Surrey.
Okay, great. And just very, we just have a few seconds left, but can you tell people why they should come and see your movie?
You should come see my movie because it's really entertaining. It is high stakes, tense, but there's also a lot of emotional nuance to the film. You're going to really see yourself in this and also come away knowing that there's still hope for folks who fall prey to a scam or maybe fall back into their old ways in this film, which is gambling. But
thanks.
You're going to love it.
Calgary-based filmmaker Gillian McKercher's second feature, Lucky Star, is having its Toronto premiere tonight at 5 p.m. at the TIFF Lightbox. This is Daniel Garber, The Movies Eat, Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com.